right then. Welcome aboard. Friday, 5 p.m. time for American Hit Radio, 90.3 WHPC. Tom Ryan here. Heidi Morales Ryan here as well. My lovely wife and co-host. We do this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6. Of course, Friday is the How Music Changed segment. If you've been tuning in around this time, you would know that by now. We've been doing this for a good number of years for How Music Changed. We've got 250 topics that we intend to discuss in incredible depth, eventually meant to cover pretty much the entire history of recorded music. So when we started at the very beginning with exactly that, the invention of recorded music, and we've been going back and forth from the older shows to slightly more contemporary shows. We're in the contemporary side of things right now. We're on a series that we are calling Transistor Days. Basically songs from 1955 to 69. We're going to be covering pop hits. And this is pleasant for me because this exact series is based on the first 50%, anyway, of the book that I had written called American Hit Radio. So we're going to play top 40 songs that have dominated the pop charts between 1955 and 1969. This is show number 6. And we are up to the summer of 1957. Now, we started, as I said, in 55, and we saw how rock and roll began to gain a little bit of momentum in a very unwelcome environment. By the summer of 1957, the rock and roll juggernaut just rolled on, gaining momentum by adding new stars to the fold. We're going to get a few new names from what we've already covered, in the past 5 shows. The major labels continued to push back, but by this point, they began to recognize that, you know, if you can't beat them, join them, so to speak. So they started to compromise somewhat by featuring new artists who they knew would have direct appeal with the youth market, such as Johnny Mathis on Columbia Records. He'll be part of this show. By this point, everybody in the music business knew that the best way to make money was to appeal to kids. It took them a long time to figure that out, but here by 1957, it was pretty obvious. And it didn't hurt that the new 7-inch 45 RPM record had gained traction and was now a perfect vehicle for sales to the youth market. In addition, rock and roll's impact on society was undeniable, especially regarding race relations. For the first time, rhythm and blues artists were now directly being marketed to kids as rock and roll artists. So, for the first time, really, on the pop charts, it virtually erases the cultural line that segregated the country. Rock and roll was doing some amazing things in that regard. I don't think it's too much of a coincidence that the civil rights movement took place due to the momentum that was brought on by rock and roll at this point in time in the latter part of the 1950s. So let's start the first track up for today, a song that reached the top 40. We're going to start in April of 1957. Elvis Presley released a single that went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for 8 weeks. That's how huge he was. He also went to number one on the R&B charts for 4 weeks. That's a very unusual thing for a white artist. He also went to number one on the country chart. So the Elvis phenomenon, talk about juggernaut, it was just rolling on and on. This was also his first number one hit in the UK. So now he's even conquered England. Elvis owned contemporary music as 1957 began to set in. Here is that track. It's called All Shook Up on 90.3 WHBC.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own 2 feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love, I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, but I feel fine. when I'm near the girl that I love best. My heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches my hand. Oh, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl and her love so fine. She touched my hand and what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah. I'm all shook up.
All right. An Elvis Blackwell song. He wrote that. Elvis got 50% of the credit because that was the arrangement that the Colonel had set up for a while that said that Elvis would get 50% of writing credits if he was going to perform somebody else's material.
Huh. It's a good deal.
Elvis, oh, definitely a good deal. Elvis said that he never wrote a song in his life. He said maybe he never even had an idea for a song.
Wow.
So, you know, there you go. Speaking of songwriters, this next artist was probably, I think, the finest example of a rock and roll songwriter. Like, who could really say that they were better at writing rock and roll songs than Chuck Berry? His songs were so incredibly relevant in their time and stayed relevant for decades afterward, really to this day. They're still amazing. And they've influenced everybody. I mean, my God, would the Rolling Stones even exist if it wasn't for Chuck Berry? I think not. It's amazing because here he is, a man in his 30s, and yet he's capable of writing these perfectly succinct and accurate songs about the concerns and interests of teenagers. Like I said, he's in his 30s, and he writes a song about what it feels like to have to get up and go to school. Incredible. And he rocks it. It's a relatively redundant song. Like the chord changes keeps repeating, the pattern keeps repeating. But the way that he delivers his vocal adds such an excitement that it's rather incredible. Song went up to number 3 on the Billboard pop charts, hit the charts in April of 1957. Here's Chuck Berry with School Day, 90.3.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. The guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell. You're lucky if you can find a seat. You're fortunate if you have time to eat. Back in the classroom, open your books. Gee, but the teacher don't know how mean she looks. Soon as 3 o'clock rolls around, finally lay your burden down. Close up your books, get out of your seat. Down the halls and into the street. Up to the corner and round the bend. Right to the juke joint you go in. Drop the coin right into the slot. You gotta hear something that's really hot. With the one you love, you're making romance. All day long you've been wanting to dance. Feeling the music from head to toe. Round and round and round you go. Into the slot. You gotta hear something that's really hot. With the one you love, you're making romance. All day long you've been wanting. head to toe. Round and round and round you go. Hail, hail, rock and roll. Deliver me from the days of old. Long live rock and roll. The beat of the drums loud and bold.
Get any better than that, really. 1957 rock and roll. Chuck Berry with School Day, a simple 12-bar blues that just feels like so much more than that in his hands. The other obvious great of this era, I mean, we're really kind of hitting them all really quickly, aren't we? You know, Elvis Presley, Chuck Berry, and now Little Richard. This is an unusual track for Little Richard, too. This is the track is called Lucille. It was covered by a million people. It's just like everybody did this. I remember the Beatles did it. Sha Na Na, of course, they did all that, all this stuff, I guess. Paul McCartney did it. Johnny Winter, Van Halen, Waylon Jennings even, the Everly Brothers. It goes on and on and on, the list of people who covered this song. And what I find about it that's interesting is it's Little Richard sort of getting, he's not abandoning his wild man routine, but he's kind of like getting into a harder rock feel. His other songs had like that New Orleans sort of a swing feel to them, a bit reckless, like they were like running out of control. This has a much more restrained, heavier beat, sort of like what inspired what was going to, what rock and roll would become by the 60s. It just implies it. It's Little Richard. He's still involved with the New Orleans musicians that he started his fame with. Lee Allen is on tenor saxophone. They got Red Tyler on baritone sax. And, of course, the incredibly fabulous Earl Palmer on drums. As I said, the track is called Lucille on 90.3 WHBC. Talk about it. There's your trinity, your holy trinity of rock and roll right there. Elvis,
yes,
Presley,
sir.
Chuck Berry, and Little Richard letting you know exactly what was happening as spring was turning into summer in the year 1957. A pair of brothers made their debut in May of 1957 on the pop charts, the Everly Brothers came along with their first hit. And this was kind of interesting because they represented something very different than what rock and roll was up until this point. They were less explosive than the rock and roll predecessors. You know, but what they brought something new and innovative. You know, what they lacked in the chaotic energy, what we heard on like Chuck Berry and Little Richard, of course, but it was more than compensated for with thoughtful lyrics that spoke to the hearts and minds of teenagers. Again, it was like...
They had their own thing going on.
Yeah, they had a very a narrative lyric structure that was similar to what Chuck Berry was doing, being able to tell a story. But it wasn't the Everly Brothers who were writing these songs. What's amazing is that it was written by a husband and wife team called Boudlow and Felice Bryant.
You say that twice.
That's, you know, this is a couple that's like in their, like, you know, late 30s, maybe their 40s, writing these again. It's like they're just channeling what the times are asking for, and then knowing that if they have their, if they write words that are believable and they put them into the mouths of somebody who's young enough to make it believable, then it's going to work. And that it was a fabulous formula. And it was the Bryants who pretty much wrote all of the Everly Brothers hits virtually in the beginning. So it was the great songs, but obviously the major appeal was the crystal clear harmonies that gave their songs like an innocence that made the themes universally appealing. They were the first act to introduce lead vocal harmony to rock and roll with this song, Everly Brothers with Bye Bye Love on 90.3 WHBC.
Bye bye love, bye bye happiness, hello loneliness, I think I'm gonna cry. Bye bye love, bye bye sweet caress, hello emptiness, I feel like I could die. Bye bye my love, goodbye. There goes my baby with someone new, she sure looks happy, I sure am blue. Was my baby till he stepped in. Goodbye from romance that might have been. Bye bye love, bye bye happiness, hello loneliness, I think I'm gonna cry. Bye bye love, bye bye sweet caress, hello emptiness, I feel like I could die. Bye-bye my love, goodbye. I'm through with romance, I'm through with love, I'm through with counting the stars above. And here's the reason that I'm so free, my loving baby is with me. Bye bye love, bye bye happiness, hello loneliness, I think I'm gonna cry. Bye bye love, bye bye sweet caress, hello emptiness, I feel like I could die. Bye bye my love, goodbye. Bye bye my love,
the Everly Brothers, of course, adding a little bit of something fresh, something new to the sound of rock and roll. It was a big, it's, you know, I'm trying to present this so you can get a feel for the way it happened, rather than hearing this song, these songs as though they're as old as they are, you know, what, 63 years old?
Wow.
These songs now. But, imagine a time when that song, you know, that would be the first time you'd be hearing the Everly Brothers. It was in 1957 with these other songs on the chart. So there it is, surrounded by its contemporary competition, so to speak. Same with this next band. The next band started out as a group called The Robins. They were based in Los Angeles, California. And they were really a band to give voice to the songwriting team of Lieber and Stoller. Lieber and Stoller had started a label called Spark Records in 1955. And what they were doing, this is like around, you know, right after their success with Big Mama Thornton and Hound Dog, and they were doing pretty well. But they're writing for R&B artists. That was their specialty. They were just a bunch of New York kids moved to Los Angeles. They're barely 20 years old, if that, at this point in time. And they have this remarkable career. They have their own, like, label, Spark Records, and production team. So they take the Robins and they start writing songs for them. So, like, one of them would be Smokey Joe's Cafe. And they are successful enough with the Robins that Atlantic Records took notice. Now, Atlantic Records is rather, you know, telling that they are called Atlantic because they are on the Atlantic Ocean. They're on this coast. They're not in California. So when Atlantic Records took notice of how successful the Robins were, they approached Lieber and Stoller and offered them an independent production contract to produce the Robins in New York.
Awesome.
So that was like, that's great for them. So they offer it to the band, but only two of the band members were willing to leave L.A. So the band literally breaks in half. Curl Gardner and Bobby Nunn leave Los Angeles and come to New York to record. But since the other guys couldn't come, they could no longer call themselves the Robins. So what did they become? The Coasters, as in they were West Coast, now they're East Coast.
Cool name.
It was just that simple. And the first single that came out on the Atlantic arrangement of Lieber and Stoller was a song called Down in Mexico, a big R&B hit. But this song I'm going to play now and its B-side, both of them crossed over to the pop charts at this point in time in still May of 1957. They both independently reached the top 10. It was getting enough airplay on both sides of the same 45 for the A side to reach number 3 and the B side to reach number 8. So here they are then, the A side and the B side back to back. We'll start with the song Searchin', and we'll follow that up with the B side of the 45 RPM record, which was the song Youngblood, both of them written by Lieber and Stoller.
Gonna find her. Matter where
Look at there.
Look at there.
Look at there. Young blood.
What's your name?
What's your name?
Young blood. Young blood. Young blood. I can't get you out of my mind.
What crazy stuff. She looks so tough. I had to follow her all the way home. Then things went bad. Met her dad, he said,
you better leave my daughter alone.
Well, I couldn't sleep a wink for trying. I saw the rising of the sun, and all night long my heart was crying. Why, you are the one.
Y'all the one.
You're the one.
You're the one.
Back-to-back single puts the Coasters now on the charts as main contenders for some of the most popular artists in rock and roll. I mentioned that both of those sides were written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, which is 100% true, but I should have also mentioned that Youngblood, they wrote it in tandem with Doc Pomus.
Wow.
So Doc Pomus contributed a lot to that song. I mean, it was just kind of awesome. I mean, there was a formula that Lieber and Stoller had at this point with the Coasters to add a sense of good-natured humor to these hard R&B rhythms that they were doing. A lot of people would consider the Coasters to be a doo-wop group because it had four guys that sang, but they were really much more R&B.
Yeah.
Than rock and roll or doo-wop, but they were incredibly influential on all three of those styles of music. Not a very lucky band, as things would turn out for them.
Yeah.
Three of the members were murdered one way or another.
Horrible.
The sax player, who also played with a lot of people, played with Aretha Franklin and such. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. It's got to come to me. I know. While I'm trying to remember that, two of the singers, one singer was basically shot to death while sitting in his car in a parking lot, and another was actually murdered by the band's manager and then hacked up. He ended up going to prison for a basically with a death sentence, which was eventually rolled over to something else. But pretty nasty, nasty stuff.
Yeah. But,
such crazy because it's such a happy music with what they were doing. So much fun to listen to their stuff. All right. Moving on from the Coasters. I got another thing that I wanted to do here about double-sided hits. We were talking about major record labels. And in 1957, Columbia Records was still smarting from, especially from the recent resurgence in Frank Sinatra's popularity. He was all but washed up a few years earlier when he was under contract with Columbia. He leaves Columbia, goes to Capitol, and becomes a huge superstar again. And this is while rock and roll is going on. Simply put, Columbia needed to reestablish itself as a leader in the music industry, and they needed somebody to fill Frank Sinatra's shoes and still appeal to the youngsters who were buying rock and roll. Johnny Mathis proved to be the key to their success. Older fans who appreciated the more traditional jazz vocal stylings were appalled by his singing. His style was just so strange.
That's mean.
Think about it. I mean, listen to the way that he sings, and you kind of say, this is from outer space to sing like that at that point in time. There's like nobody else was singing in that style, so the older audience didn't get it at all. But young kids flocked to him. This was the type of guy, if you were having a party at a friend's house and you were in the basement, that's where you would turn the lights out.
Uh-oh.
You have your little makeout sessions.
Uh-oh.
To Johnny Mathis. Paradoxically, Columbia filled a void in the youth market by giving teenagers their own thoroughly modern version of Frank Sinatra. And this was his first hit. It was called Wonderful, Wonderful on 90.3 WHPC.
Sometimes we walk hand in hand by the sea, and we breathe in the cool, salty air. You turn to me with a kiss in your eyes, and my heart feels a thrill beyond compare. I turn to you and you melt in my arms. There we are, darling, only you and I. What a moment to share. It's wonderful, wonderful. Oh, so wonderful, my love. The world is full of wondrous things, it's true. Meaning without you. Some quiet evening I sit by your side, and we're lost in a world of our own. I feel the glow of your unspoken love. I'm aware of the treasure that I hold. It's not for me to say you love me. It's not for me to say you'll always care. Oh, but here for the moment I can hold you fast and press your lips to mine and dream that love will last as far as I can see. This is heaven.
speaking just for me. It's ours to share. Perhaps the glow of love will grow with every passing day, or we may never meet again. But then it's not for me to say. Just for me, it's ours to share. Perhaps the glow of love will grow with every passing day, or we may never meet again. But then it's not for me to say.
Might not be rock and roll, but it is sheer perfection to me. That song always evokes nostalgia in me. Just always. That piano riff is just fabulous. Both of those songs were recorded on the exact same day. Wonderful, wonderful. And It's Not For Me To Say at one of his first sessions for Columbia Records. It's the Ray Conniff Orchestra that's supporting him on those songs. And what's rather interesting is, like, he, Wonderful, Wonderful was a hit. And then for some reason, Columbia Records released the first Johnny Mathis album and they called it Wonderful, Wonderful, but they didn't put that song on it.
Oh.
That song, it was just a title that they took from the song, but they didn't include it because he didn't have any hits yet. Then that song became huge, went to number 14 on the pop charts, and then It's Not For Me To Say went even higher, up to number 5. So all of a sudden now everybody's flocking to buy the album that doesn't have the title song on it.
Told you.
Right, exactly. What they ended up having to do, because Mathis got instantly very busy and the demand was incredible, so they wanted to put Wonderful, Wonderful onto the next album. So they made an album to follow it up. They called it Johnny's Greatest Hits. And it was one of the first greatest hits packages of the rock and roll era. It was really a precedent for the whole idea of greatest hits albums. And it ended up staying on the charts for 490 weeks.
Wow.
It was absolutely incredible.
That's a record, huh?
It was an absolute record. The only thing that ever beat it, eventually Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon,
sure,
when that took permanent residence on the charts. So that basically never went away. But up until then, that song was absolutely the record keeper.
Wow.
All right. Speaking of Columbia and what they were up to, I've done this a number of times already. They would always bring in these whitewashed sort of like doo-wop groups that they thought would somehow manage to fit in with the youth market. I said this on a few shows already. If you call your band the Four Whatever, it's almost a guarantee that it's going to be pretty bad. The band's not going to be very good. And the Four Tops are obviously a very distinct exception to that rule. In this case, the band is called the Four Coins. What can I say? You know, they got signed to Columbia Records. All of them are Greek. They're all of Greek heritage from Canonsburg, Pennsylvania. And again, it was just a situation of them being decided, you know, being figuring that they could present a nice, wholesome image. And it wasn't, you know, it was sort of the antithesis of rock and roll. So I'm playing this for that reason, to hear the other side of what was going on in 1957. From June of that year, this song went to number 11 on the pop charts. Here are the Four Coins performing Shangri-La.
take me to Shangri-La. Each kiss is magic that makes my little world a Shangri-La. Nothing to do but cling to an angel that looks like you. And when you hold me, how warm you are. Be mine, mine. Spend your life with me in Shangri-La. For anywhere you are in Shangri-La.
I'm going to break out my old board game of Dream Date.
I've never had that, but I know what you're talking about.
I never had it either, but I think a friend of mine had it and we played it.
I mean, if I had that, that would have been an amazingly embarrassing thing. This was basically a game about...
It was for girls. Yeah. It was all guys behind the door. I mean, I say it was for girls. Who am I to say?
Well, there you go. But yeah, this is what they were still. They were still trying to beat down rock and roll and hoping that they would do that. And with some success, that song went to number 11. But let's compare that to the real thing. Now, when we started this, we were talking about when we were in our previous series, which was pre-1955, we were playing some tracks that were recorded at Sun Records in Memphis. Elvis, before he was famous, for example, on Sun Records. In this series, we then played Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins. Now it's time for the fourth monster of basically the million-dollar quartet. Got to add Jerry Lee Lewis into the equation. This is when he makes his debut around the same time as the Four Coins. Now, before artists like Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard became legends in their own time, it was adequate for most rock and rollers to simply appear rebellious. The image that artists presented was more important than their real true disposition, and usually the two were quite different. Jerry Lee Lewis, though, was the real thing, and he had the temerity to prove it. With his long blonde hair combed back, he would strut on stage, approach the piano with a swagger, then pound out eighth notes while attempting to seduce your daughter with an arrogant sneer and suggestive lyrics. If his talent was anything less than absolute, he would have been torn apart by the male contingent of the audience. Such was the confidence of Jerry Lee Lewis that he never thought twice about it. As you listen to this song, remember, it's 1957. You just heard the Four Coins sing Shangri-La. Imagine how perverted this song must have sounded in 1957. It's just literally perverse, and yet a huge hit. Number 3 on the pop charts. You could not keep rock and roll or a good man down. Jerry Lee Lewis with a whole lot of shaking going on.
said, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking it. Oh, a lot of caking going on. Well, I said, come on over, baby. We got chicken in the morning. I said shake, baby, shake. I said shake it, baby, shake it. I said shake, baby, shake. Come on over.
Jerry Lee, like Elvis, was another one of those guys that was an interpreter, not a songwriter. I think a lot of people think that Jerry Lee wrote that song. It's not the case. He was interpreting. It was actually a previous employer of his. He used to play at this after-hours juke joint, and the piano player was a guy named Roy Hall, who wrote that song with somebody named Dave Williams. Hall had released his own version of the song back in 1955 on Decca Records. So Jerry Lee was just basically trying to come up with material when he was at Sun and just did his version of it and ripped the top off of the building. So there you have it. All right. This is a band. Next band up. I don't want to be picking on the Diamonds too much. I did already pick on them a little bit on a previous show because they were a band that did a version of Frankie Lymon and the Teenagers, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? And that always annoys me when somebody's trying to basically steal somebody else's thunder. So the Diamonds did a bit of that, so we played that about two shows ago. But they had like one of the most silly rock and roll doo-wop type of recordings that was very popular in 1957. I didn't consider it good enough to include in this series, but you know the song, A Little Darling, I Love Her, you know, that silly thing. That was the Diamonds. They also did a song called The Stroll. But here I'm just got to pick on them a little bit more because of just represent just kind of the out-of-touch side of them, them performing this song called Words of Love by the Diamonds on 90.3.
Hold me close and tell me how you feel. Tell me love is real. Oh, words of love you whisper soft and true. Darling, I love you. Oh,
hold me close and tell me how you feel. tell me love is real. Words of love, whisper soft and true. Darling, I love you.
Let me hear you say the words I want to hear, darling, when you're near. Oh, 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 oh. Words of love you whisper soft and true, darling, I love you.
Song that would rise to significant popularity, at least historically, in the hands of Buddy Holly. And then again, of course, covered by the Beatles, who did a very good job of covering Buddy Holly's version. But there you hear the Diamonds kind of goofing it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Words of love. Let's get back down to Louisiana. A man from Shreveport, Louisiana, invented a thing called swamp rock with this one simple, short, little tune. The guitar is really the reason that's driving it. I always thought it was, the artist is Dale Hawkins. I always gave him credit for the guitar. Turns out, as I'm investigating it, not the case. Wouldn't you know it? It's James Burton who's providing the riff and the solo on this song. So it's the same good Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, James Burton, from Elvis's band, his second band, I suppose you could say, on 90.3 WHPC. Here's Dale Hawkins with Susie Q. Song, Dale Hawkins from Louisiana. We'll end with one more Louisiana native to end our show. Roy Brown. He's the guy that wrote Good Rockin' Tonight, recorded the first version of it. Big hit for Benoni Harris, one of the songs that pretty much helped to give rock and roll its name and its feel. Well, by 1957, he was sort of a has-been, unfortunately, but he made a comeback right around here in the summer when he got signed to Imperial Records and started to work with Dave Bartholomew, the guy who was working with Fats Domino.
Oh, yeah.
So he had this song, and eventually the original version, this is the original version, and Fats would later cover it, and he would have his own hit with it. But here's the original by Roy Brown, Let the Four Winds Blow, on 90.3 WHBC. Take care, everybody. We'll be back with more of this stuff next Friday. Take care.
I like the way you walk. I like the way you talk. Let me hold your hand. Try to understand. I want a girl like you to tell my troubles to. Don't be afraid. You heard what I said. Have you heard the news? You I'd hate to lose. Come to my side. Don't say goodbye. Let the four winds blow. Let them blow, let them blow. From east to west, I love you the best. Let the four winds blow. Let them blow, blow, blow. From east to west, I love you the best. Like the way you talk. Let me hold your hand. Try to understand. I want a girl like you to tell my troubles to. Don't be afraid. You heard what I said. Let the four winds blow. Let them blow, let them blow. From east to west, I love you the best. Let the four winds blow. Let them blow, blow, blow. From east to west, I love you the best.